The 12th Sunday after Pentecost. The first reading is taken from Proverbs chapter 25. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. To search out a matter is the glory of kings. As the heavens are high and the earth is deep, so the hearts of kings are unsearchable. Remove the dross from the silver, and a silversmith can produce a vessel. Remove wicked officials from the king's presence, and his throne will be established through righteousness. Do not exalt yourself in the king's presence, and do not claim a place among his great men. It is better for him to say to you, "Come up here," than for him to humiliate you before his nobles. What you have seen with your eyes, do not bring hastily to court, for what will you do in the end if your neighbor puts you to shame? If you take your neighbor to court, do not betray another's confidence, or the one who hears it may shame you, and the charge against you will stand. This is the word of the Lord. The second reading is from Hebrews chapter 13. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by eating ceremonial foods, which is of no benefit to those who do so. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. The high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering, but the bodies are burned outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. This is the word of the Lord, the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. There in front of him was a man suffering from abnormal swelling of his body. Jesus asked the Pharisees and experts in the law, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. So taking hold of the man, he healed him and sent him on his way. Then he asked them, "If one of you has a child or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull it out?" And they had nothing to say. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this person your seat." Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you will be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Then Jesus said to his host, when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Once again, I greet you in the magnificent name of Jesus Christ this morning. There was an army major who had been recently promoted to the rank of colonel. Obviously, he was pleased with his promotion. He was sitting in his office, his new office, when somebody knocked on the door and said, "This is Private Johnson. May I come in, sir?" The colonel said, "Just a minute." The colonel, wanting to look impressive, picked up the telephone and began talking into it loudly. "Yes, Mr. President. I understand, Mr. President. We will take care of it right away, Mr. President." Of course, the president wasn't on the line. The colonel just wanted to appear more important than he was. So after a while, the colonel said, "Mr. President, could you hold on for just a second?" And then he said, "Come in, private." The private came in, and the colonel told him to talk quickly because he had the president on the line. And so he said, "Well, what can I do for you, private?" And the private said, "Well, I just came in to hook up your telephone." You see, some people go out of their way to look foolish because of their pride. Now, I won't say anything about what happened in the second half of the game yesterday, but let that suffice for a humbling situation. In today's gospel, in Luke 14, Jesus teaches about being humble before men and being humble before God. Now, he was eating at the house of a prominent Pharisee. And he was watching the people, how they chose to sit in the important seats in, you know, around the table. And the Pharisees and the other religious leaders back then were very good at reminding the commoners that they were the important people in Israel. They would, as Jesus would say, lord it over the people because they were the most important. Jesus wanted to give them an example of being humble. And he used it in the context of the, you know, the food table events that they were so familiar and it was so common back then. And at the end of his example, he told them, "For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." In other words, either you can be humble or you can be humbled. You see, pride and arrogance and egotism are all mixed up in our natural human DNA. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, pride has been a dominant characteristic of human beings. I mean, think about the original sin. It was one of pride. It was one of selfishness. Thinking too highly of oneself. Because Eve and then Adam thought they should be equal with God and know what God knows, forgetting that God created them and forgetting that God said, "Stay away and don't eat any fruit from that one particular tree." And we have been fighting human pride ever since. If we read Holy Scripture, we see it played out through all of human history. Pride causes wars and deaths and destruction and betrayals and hardships and all of the other bad things that we see happening. That's why Jesus was so adamant about speaking out against pride and arrogance. He saw it as the cancer that it is. He especially saw it in the Pharisees and the other religious leaders back in his day. You see, when we go to the heart of our salvation, or if we go to the heart of our hope to one day be in heaven with God, humility or humbleness is a basic prerequisite for our relationship with God. You know, many, many years ago, the noted theologian Saint Augustine said, "Humility is the foundation of all other virtues. Hence, in the soul in which this virtue does not exist, there cannot be any other virtue." Now think about it. Can we have a good relationship with Jesus if we're not humble before Him, if we don't recognize who He is? Can we ask for His forgiveness if we're not humble, if we don't bow down to Him and ask for His forgiveness? Can we worship Him like we're doing today? Can we develop a love for for all other people? Can we develop other virtues that God wants us to have if we're not humble? I don't think so. That's why humbleness is high in value to God. That's why we see Him teaching it. That's why we see Him warning against not having it all through Scripture. Mankind has gotten into so much trouble and conflict and disobedience because we will not humble ourselves before God. And God will punish those with prideful hearts. You know, when you really think about it, what do we have to be prideful about anyway? I mean, when we try to compare ourselves to God, there's no comparison, right? I mean, we have to understand who He is. We have to understand He is the God of the universe. He created everything that we see and know. To have a relationship with Him, we have to be humble. But most of the time, when we're prideful, it's prideful because we compare ourselves to other people, right? We may temporarily feel superior to someone else, but that feeling usually is very short-lived. There's always somebody else who has more standing, who has more prestige, who has more power than we have. Comparing ourselves to other people is not what God wants us to do. Because as far as God's concerned, we're equal. We're on the same level. You know, sometimes some people describe another person as being down to earth, right? They say he's down to earth. Maybe, you know, that's another way of saying that he's got some humility in him, right? Well, maybe it's because he realizes that he is just dust of the earth. Kind of like what God said to Adam in the garden. He said, "By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return." So why and how can we think so highly of ourselves that we get prideful? Our focus should be on our eternal future, not on this temporal life that we're living in. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that, you know, humbleness or humility means that you have to have low self-esteem. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. It's not the same thing. You know, the author, C.S. Lewis, he succinctly said it. He said, "Humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less." Okay? Don't let your perspective be too small so that you're only focusing on this life and focusing on yourself, your strengths, your weaknesses. God created you for a purpose, and that purpose is to do good things, good works. In fact, He calls us His children, right? And so think about our eternity with Him as our Father. He wants us to think of ourselves less, you know, where we are on the pecking order, so to speak, and think about Him more and think about other people more. I mean, let's take Moses for an example. You know, in Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, it says, "Now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth." And yet, don't we read about him standing in front of Pharaoh numerous times, confronting Pharaoh, and in the end, leading the Israelites out of Egypt under the nose of Pharaoh? Don't we read about him leading the rebellious and the disobedient Israelites through the desert for 40 years? What a tough job that was, right? So Moses did not lack assertiveness, right? But he was a humble man. Or how about we look at Jesus, the Son of God? Jesus had all of the powers of the universe at his fingertips. And yet he was a humble man. So humble that he could look beyond the people that betrayed him, the people that lied to him, the people that hated him, and the people that would eventually kill him, so that he could complete the ministry for which he was sent. Paul wrote about Jesus in Philippians chapter 2. He said, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." Because you see, Jesus had the proper perspective in his earthly life. He cared about everybody. He cared about mankind and what he came to do, rather than what his status was in that society, rather than what his comfort was in that society. If we're humble before God, it shows that we too have the proper perspective. It's knowing who God is and knowing who we are in relationship to Him. Knowing that He gave us life and knowing that through Jesus He gives us new life, the forgiveness of our sins. If you think about it, asking Jesus to forgive your sins is a humbling experience, is it not? If you're truly sincere. I mean, yeah, we approach the Creator of all that we know, of all that we see, right? We know that we're at His mercy. We know that we're not going to survive this life to go on to eternal life unless He forgives our sins. And we have to be humble when we come to God, to Jesus, to ask for the forgiveness of our sins, because we have to admit all of the evil things that we've done, all of the ways that we were disobedient to Him, right? You know, it's kind of like Isaiah. When Isaiah, if you read Isaiah, he was taken by the Spirit up into heaven. And all of a sudden, he was there in the presence of God Almighty. And he was convicted of his sin. He realized how sinful he was. And he said, "Woe to me! I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." And it kind of makes me wonder how I'm going to react, and maybe how you're going to react when we're face to face with God Almighty, which we will be one day. But there's still people on this earth that have been listening to the lies that Satan has been telling them in their ear. And, you know, the world has fed them every single day. That they can't bring themselves to humble, you know, get on their knees and humble themselves before God and ask for His forgiveness. How prideful is that? Those of us who do ask for forgiveness, those of us who do understand what Jesus did for all people, are grateful for our forgiveness, are we not? We shouldn't take our salvation for granted. We need to be reminded of the gift of salvation every day, the gift of the Holy Spirit within us, and that our reward is going to be in heaven one day. Whatever status we have on this earth, whatever power and prestige and, you know, whatever else we've accomplished in this life on this earth is like dust in the wind compared to what we're going to receive in heaven. Jesus gave us an example, or a glimpse, I should say, of heaven through John when he wrote the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 7, John says this, "After I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb.'" And then listen to this. "All of the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, 'Amen, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen.'" Now that is humbleness. That is humbleness before God. They were saying, "We're not worthy, and yet you chose us anyway." True humility is not just a one-time, knee-dirtying, soul-bearing experience. True humility is a lifetime of obedience to God when we have the perspective to recognize who He is and who we are. You know, in our second lesson today from Hebrews 13, it's all about obedience to God. It's all about serving other brothers and sisters. It's all about serving people in prisons and strangers and people who are mistreated and so forth. And then verse 16 says, "And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for such sacrifices God is pleased." You know, those of us who are parents and grandparents, we want our children and grandchildren to obey us, right? Not from a standpoint of law where they're going to get punished, but from a standpoint of they know who we are and they know what we give them. Well, that's the way God our Father wants us to be. God is pleased when we obey Him. And we're open to Him for His guidance through His holy word. James wrote in chapter 4, "Humble yourselves before the Lord and He will lift you up." He will lift us up when we remember that He is the one that gives us all good things. He'll lift us up when we remember what God told Solomon when Solomon built the temple. And finished the temple. And then God came to him and said, "If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land." Aren't we called by His name? Aren't we Christians? Right? What's the first part of the obedience that God wants to see here? Humble ourselves, right? Then pray and seek His face. Then repent, which means turn from the wicked ways. And what's He going to do? He's going to forgive our sins and He will heal our land. Do you think our land needs to be healed? I would say it does. Do you think that the problems we're having today in the world and in this country is because of the lack of humility? Yes, I think so. Everyone seems to be looking out for themselves and not remembering that it's God who has created all good things. Some people think that they're on the same level as God, you know, like Adam and Eve wanted to be. Some people disregard God altogether. He doesn't count. And therefore, they don't have gratitude toward Him for the wonderful salvation that He's given us, for the wonderful things He's given us. They don't want to listen to Him through His Word. They don't want to listen to Him or see anything going on between the Holy Spirit, the works of the Holy Spirit. They don't want to obey Him by loving other people and serving other people. They're just out for themselves. They don't obey Him by taking His warnings seriously, taking His warnings to heart. Folks, God wants to bless us, each and every one of us, each and every day. He wants to lift us up, right? But we need to be on our knees asking Him for forgiveness. We need to humble ourselves. Jesus tried to teach the self-righteous people back in His day. You remember in Matthew 18, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Little children are humble, aren't they? They know their place before their Father. Jesus said, "For all who exalt themselves will be humbled. And those who humble themselves will be exalted." The choice is ours. Will you be humble, or will you be humbled by the God of the universe? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we come before You humbled in knowing there's no comparison with You. You are our Creator and Savior. We thank You for loving us enough that You would do all that You do for us. Through the work of Your Holy Spirit, we ask You to keep us lifted up to You for all eternity. And we pray all of this in Jesus' wonderful and blessed name. Amen.